Hey everyone, we're glad you could join us again for episode 56, Setback for the Comeback. We speak about those times in life when you're taking more side steps than moving forward. We're going to talk about it, so stay tuned. Hey guys, your favorite girls are back. I'm Ayana.
And this is Delilah.
And you know we're the not corporate girls.
Or do you? Do you know?
Episode 56. And the title of this episode is Setback for the Comeback.
Deep sigh.
There's a lot of interesting emotions around that. But before we even kick into that, let's talk about some fun stuff. Let's talk about our positive notes.
Sounds good.
You want to take us away?
Guys, I'm mad tired. She's tired.
Because,
yo, Ayana basically said I look kid by saying I look tired. I just came back from Jamaica on Monday morning. Yeah, Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever. And it was a fantabulous time. Jamaica was lit. I'm peeling oldie.
Your pictures look lit.
They took some amazing photos. Jamaica's amazing. We had like only one like rain day when we got there, and then after that the weather really showed up. It was a girls trip. It was good times, just chill. We didn't do like too much of anything, just wanted fun sun and drinks on the beach.
Now, did you know all the girls that you went with?
Yeah, no, all of them, majority of them were my sorority sisters, and then one of them was their biological sister and like a childhood friend or like a high school friend that they grew up with, and then one of their parents, like their father came.
I saw in the picture.
Yeah, and another sister's biological sister.
Okay.
And we were celebrating 3 birthdays. Shout out to Libras, Libra season.
Libras are good people.
Yeah, there was mad birthdays like ending September, October. I feel like back-to-back-to-back birthdays. So it was cool. It was good time. So many laughs, like laughs on laughs on laughs. And I would travel with all of them again. Like,
yeah.
You know how big groups it could be iffy, but everybody was on the same wavelength. Like people did, you know, their own thing they wanted to.
Right.
We would meet up like to eat breakfast, whatever. But
right.
Like, for the most part, we did like an excursion on Friday, and we all went. It was kind of like rock climbing through the waterfalls.
How was that?
It was so much fun, but it was very, it was like an extreme sport.
Right.
It was tiring. So after that, we went and had
too drinks. Extreme?
It was a little too extreme. I was like, wait, I didn't kind of sign up for this, but I did sign up for
right,
this.
Right, you did. And plus, you're on vacation.
Exactly.
Right?
So I was like, well, I'm doing hard work on vacation. Like,
I know.
On top of this damn freaking water, cascading waterfall. But it was good times. And I just feel like whenever you go on vacation with anyone, like, there's always some sense of, like, added closeness.
Yeah.
I feel like people get to, like, know each other more.
Yeah.
Even, like, I don't know. It's just,
it's, yeah.
After every trip, I always draw myself closer to certain people. Mm-hmm. Or, like, just people that I didn't get to know and just seeing them in another light.
Right. Because,
you know, you're away from home. So, it's like.
And it's just y'all. It's like Survivor. It's like just being with the same people.
Being with the same people. But then kind of seeing how people react in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if something goes wrong or a situation breaks out. Or,
right.
Like, you know, these are people I don't chill with day to day. But, like, you're going to still come by my defense.
Right,
anything. Not that any drama happened at all. But it's just, like, to see people out of their, like, comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because home is your comfort zone.
Right.
Back in New York. But then being with, like, you know, people that you're not always with day to day. I think it's always pretty cool. And just, like, people come trying to, like, leave their routine of home and just trying to be, like, chill.
Which
and,
can
like,
be so hard on vacation sometimes.
It, especially because we have a soon-to-be mom and a mother that joined us on the trip.
Okay.
So, you know, like, having to call back home
yeah.
and check in and all of that. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm living free as a bird, like...
I can't. This back. You've been using this analogy like a few times this week. Back at the ranch.
Back at the ranch. That's my line. That is my line. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Because it's never okay at the ranch. Shit is like rustled and tussled. But.
Don't I know
but,
it. Don't I know it.
But Ayana was doing some dope shit during the weekend that I was kind of sad. I hate when cool things happen when I'm not around
right?
to attend.
I know.
So shout out to CultureCon, the CCNYC, third year in a row.
Second year.
Oh, it's second?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was the third. All right, so I'll make it there for 3 years of charm.
I'm so proud of them. Like, definitely shout out to the CCNYC because they are just lit. They're creative as fuck. Like,
they're just
super amazed at this production that they put together. It was really, really great. There was a lot of added value there. Shout out to Jasmine, who's gonna be our guest.
Yes.
Next week. But me and her went together because Delilah, of course, couldn't join us.
Happy belated birthday to Jasmine.
Yes, happy belated birthday. But it was fun. I mean, I would say, like, just to, like, a quick roundup, I would say, like, the top things that really stood out to me about the entire event overall mm-hmm. was, one, that creatives can come together and produce something really great.
Right.
Two, people of color can come together and make shit happen. Like, literally make it happen.
Like, their thing is, like, we move the culture. Like, you know, Jay-Z said.
It doesn't move without us. Yeah. It's, like, lit. But I think
what we have to get along.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. I was going to say.
There's a whole bunch of. Because I'm telling you, a matter of fact, while I'm here, to add to that point, this is just to add emphasis. There was this girl, her name is Tasica. Shout out to Tasica. She is the author of an awesome book that I'm just so bad with. Like, Her Daughter Too is the name of the book. And I met her some years ago. But she literally posted this on Instagram. I'm going to read it to you guys really quick. Did she put it in her? I think it was an Insta Stories. No, not there. But I posted it. I could go to my. It was basically just saying how you have to be, like, nice to people. I just went through a situation where somebody reached out to me wanting me to collaborate with them for, like, an initiative. And the email and the way they presented themselves was just not how you, like, go about
securing brand partnerships.
Right, or, like, getting people enrolled in your vision. And so, you know, other people could just be, like, be critical and just, like, shun you. And I just took it as, and I, you know, brought it to Ayana's attention.
A teachable moment.
But, like, not wanting to offend anybody. Because, you know, it's a somewhat of a vulnerability when you do reach out to somebody. Yeah. And
put yourself out there
to put an idea that's just, like, you know, just a thought that you want to make happen and for a positive cause and mm-hmm. all good intent. And then somebody be like,
nah, did she respond?
She hasn't responded yet, but maybe she does. I don't know. Because a lot of things, too, with this is not taking things personal when people are trying to teach you, right?
Yeah.
So it's a twofold.
Yeah.
There's a way of how to teach someone and not come off condescending and, like, rude and, like, you know, uppity.
It's all about the delivery.
It's about delivery. But for the people who, there's some people that even as nice as you say it, always going to find
they
a problem with
it. The same way.
I want to tell you guys here now, don't be that because you're going to stump your growth.
Yeah.
Because people are really interested in wanting you to do better. At least I know I am. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that you are too. If I will call you out on your mistake. And plus, I work in social media. And there's times when I've, like, sent out posts that have, like, a fucking typo and a misspelling. Like, I'm human. Like, this is human error. It's not a robot that's here typing 20 miles, you know, whatever. And you know what's funny, too? Like, I'm just realizing with the theme of the setbacks to the comeback, a consistency that I saw on social media this week was about how to, like, be thoughtful and mindful of people's situations before you bash them. Because another situation similar to this was somebody who was a mother, a single mother, trying to, like, be superwoman, taking care of her child, but also trying to send emails and do X, Y, and Z. And I think she sent the email, like, to the wrong person. And although the person on the receiving end wants to chew you up because it's like, you know, you should have been more careful.
Right.
It's just, like, kind of allowing people the room and space for human error. Like,
mm-hmm.
yes, I know there is some, like, technicalities when it comes to delivering yourself and how you present yourself, but
right.
I just feel like as creatives, we get judgmental and sentimental how people judge our stuff.
Right.
So it's like, how are we the first ones to be, like, on top of somebody for something that they fall short on?
I mean, as humans, we're judgy in general.
We are
so
judgy.
It's
there's, like, this nose up thing with the whole creative space. And I don't know if it's, I see it because we're in it, because
mm-hmm.
people that don't even live this world I even try to check myself in how I speak about certain topics, because it's like, just because this is my everyday, that's not the next person's everyday. And
right,
they could
give
two fucks about what I'm talking about.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I think, and that was what was kind of cool about CultureCon, because, like you said, our favorite word, they enrolled people in their vision. And it was really cool to see all these different creatives, people of color, be in the same place. What was really great was the panels. The panels were good as well. Like, just, like, hearing all this, like, information, things you know, we know this stuff. But just hearing other people, like, kind of talk about their journeys and their challenges and successes.
Right.
Was just really cool to hear, because, I mean, there was a lot of things that I was shaking my head at a lot because I know it already, but it was one of those things where it's like, you're not alone. And I think the whole point of all of this was to really show everyone, like, you're not alone. Like, as creatives, as people of color, this is the struggles and challenges and successes that we all go through. And, like, we can kind of, like,
normalize them.
Yeah, normalize them and be nice doing it, right? Like, we can meet people. Like, I mean, you know, like, there was a lot of people there that we know. We saw our friend Julian, obviously Tequila, Imani, like shout out to them. Just a couple.
Franz and Travis
from Driven Society, Mark. I mean, just like, there was a lot of people there, you know, so it was really cool to be part of that. So big up to them, and you know, we'll be there next year. So that'll be cool. So that was a good positive note for me. And also, I wasn't on vacation, but in my mind, I was in Mexico, but I didn't end up there. I ended up in my home.
Which was a good place to be.
So,
sometimes you need to live there.
You need to live there. So I had, like, my 3 mental health days, I'm going to call them. And I just chilled out while I just looked at Delilah's pictures in Jamaica and wished that I was in Mexico, but it's all good.
Which I didn't even post as much because I was really
You was
on
being
vacation.
In the moment. I appreciate it. I was looking, but I knew what you were doing. So I was like, she needs to be in the moment because you're so on.
I'm so, girl.
It was good to be off.
It was good to just not even look. I didn't check in on anything. I kind of posted, like, on my trap, like, heading back home. That's when I started, like, looking through the pictures and stuff. But I was just, like, living my best life. I wasn't going back and forth.
It was so good. But getting into a hustle spirit, and also getting into kind of our theme for the episode. But before we do that, we need to talk about our latest that we've done. Non-corporate girls.
We've done a thing, guys.
Non-corporate girls has launched IGTV. Have you checked out our intro video? We want to know.
Like, check it out. Like, get to know us.
Because big up to social media manager Carla.
Every day I just be like, Carla, when I grow up, I want to be like you.
Every day I'm like, Carla, you're not going anywhere.
Like, yo.
Like, you need to be
here.
You
are creative director. Like, you, we are grooming you to be, okay?
Part of the vision.
A 3-man show over here.
So Carla has hooked us up, and we're now on IGTV, and our intro video is lit. Like, I watched it like 4 times.
Me too.
And I was like, yo, we did so good.
I was like, I said that.
Like, and it was so long ago. Can you imagine how long ago?
It was. It's almost going to be a year. Oh, my God. We sound mad. We sound like freaking Beyond Clueless. But aside from that, it's going to be a year. I noticed, like, looking at that video, like, you know when, all right, you have a foundation, we started an idea, or even, like, when you're writing an essay, remember you had to start the intro, and then
the body then the conclusion.
But you had to fulfill details and tie it back to
and
your
intro. Transitions.
And have transitions, right? So, when you're going, not on a tangent, but, like, you're trying to explain so much, you could drift off of what the topic is. And in us developing and growing on Corporate Girls, like, sometimes we move out of base because we have so many ideas that we have to, like, refocus ourselves.
Right.
And I felt that video helped me to refocus ourselves. Like, when I was listening, I was like, this is our purpose. This is what the intention there. So, I feel like whenever it feels like disarray or, like, you know, we're trying to do too much and you gotta, like, bring it back.
Yeah.
That video helps me really back in.
Which constantly happens. We're constantly needing the real shit back.
Yeah, because we really want to, we want to do so much, and it seems like with this whole step, like, you know, the theme of the setback, you know, when you're trying to do everything and then nothing happens?
Yeah. We're not being our best selves. We're spreading ourselves thin.
We are, and the intent is to be, but it's like we feel like we gotta try to hit every freaking pocket, because it's like doing one thing at a time and waiting for it to follow through. It's just so timely. But I think maybe we have to reorganize the approach and really just stick in one lane.
Which is what we realized recently, and this is where we're at. But it's real. But what I really liked about the video was that, like, aside from the fact that one, it was like a long time ago, but like we were, it was like, it did remind me like how, like, not that we're not passionate now, but we were like, like, not like babies, but like raw, like very, like, you know, we were like, this is the purpose, this is the goal, this is what we're doing. We're niche,
this is a movement. So like, it's like, okay, you know, when they say, is every step you're taking or everything you're doing adding to the overall vision of what it is? So it's like, when it comes to making choices and the moves we make, that's how we can decide to how to move forward.
Right, is it strategic with our overall vision?
Exactly, because some of it could be sidesteps.
Yeah, which we've done.
Yes, like now. Like, it'd be happening just, oh, I don't even know, I'm on the side.
Let's not even talk about this day.
Yeah, first of all, I'm so tired. If this was a video, guys, I look Hiddington. Like, I look crazy. I look like a bum.
Thank God this is audio, though.
I'm glad. I was going to go on live, too. Because let me tell y'all, speaking of live, shout out to my sorority sisters, Cussies. Not Lambda Chapter. We was at Alpha Chapter Rutgers campus. And they're practicing for a homecoming for Lambda Chapter. And they asked me to come through. Because I used to stroll back in the day. Way, way back in the day. And they was like, oh, can you come through, critique? Like, you know, see your transition, whatever. I was like, absolutely. I had actual time to go. So I came through and it was just mad love and just mad jokes, because then I was with like my old pro fights. And I thought that I was young out here in these streets.
I miss strolling. I miss stepping.
I used to love performing. Oh my God. That was like my carefree days. It was just like practice and just bullshitting, chopping up, coming up with costume ideas, putting the mixes together.
And just being like, just raw, like just kind of like there's no inhibitions. You're just kind of like out there.
Leave it all on the stage. Like, oh, ham. I used to fight with my line sister, like, no. Like,
those days.
Yo.
Delilah was hitting me up yesterday. She was just like, yo, these girls are so young.
I was. Oh my God, they were so beautiful and like, just so like, they don't have no fucking worry except to do their paper or whatever it is. And here I am.
Because in college, that's the biggest concern of your life, right?
Like, you have really no real worries unless you may be a commuter and then you're working. But if you're living on campus, which I was, I just was living my best life.
Yeah.
I plummeted after college.
I'm done.
I'm just like, how you go down after college? Like, I was rich over there.
Yo, first.
SUNY New Paltz. Like,
first of all, can we talk about, all right, so we need to get into this other thing, but just a quick note. Humans of New York. You follow Humans of New York, right?
I do, they but did sometimes I don't, because I'll just go on that page and never leave.
There was this one guy.
And be inspired. There's too many fucking emotions on Humans of New York.
I know, I love it. There was this one guy, and he was just talking about how he had such a vision and a goal when he graduated, like, speaking of graduation, it was, like, he had a clear path, and he wanted to be a millionaire at some age. He wanted to be the first Nigerian something, whatever, and then I guess, like, I want to say 10 years later, he is nowhere, well, in his mind, he's nowhere where he said he wanted to be when he graduated, and he feels like he's kind of worked backwards in life. So he was just basically being raw, open, and putting that out there, and people were, like, being so crazy in the comments, but yo, I, like, resonated comments with him, though, because I'm like, the life is different. Like, I mean, talk about a setback. I mean, it's not like I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, so whatever's supposed to be will be. But just like the vision that you had, so how your vision changes.
Did you have a clear, like, you had a setup of like, this age I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna be that? You had a very clear, because
I didn't have it clear.
Like, I had an idea of what it was.
I had an idea. What I wanted it to look like. I had an idea, but I started to feel like by senior year, I thought that the whole, like, sky's the limit and like, you go to college and you come out and do anything you want was bullshit anyway. And like, really hard work and consistency, all the other layers that come about are needed.
Right.
So my idea started to shift senior year, where I was like, okay.
See, I had, like, multiple different thoughts, because I graduated at a weird time where first of all, I did an extra year in college.
I'm like, you about to date yourself?
I don't even care. But, like, it was the freaking stock market crash and whatever. So, it was, like, some people that I knew graduated, I did an extra year, jobs were hard, But then it was like, I was a little bit worried. I was not so much in a rush to leave because I didn't really know what was going to be next. Like, what am I rushing to go where? Nothing set up. I had done internships. I had started interning since before college. Mm-hmm. Like, I was working DKNY as my first brand. That's why I feel like fashion still has, like, a special place in my heart. But I don't want to... I wouldn't work in fashion unless it's in some, like, advocacy type of situation, whatever. Fuck yeah. But what I was saying...
Not to digress, but...
I didn't have, like, a clear vision of where it was. I just knew that I was going to be successful in whatever it was. And I didn't even have a definition of... But, like, success did mean I was going to be making green money and, like, being in a job that... Where I was going to connect with people. Like, I knew that because I'm a talker, I'm a doer. Like, I like being... And also, I didn't know... Like, I remember having to do my freshman year what my career goal was, and I did a whole presentation on being a publicist. I definitely did. But when it was coming time to apply for those type of roles, the word then was not, like, publicist.
Yeah.
It was, like, account executive and account coordinator, like, account this. Yeah. And I didn't know that verbiage. Like, I wasn't taught that. I kind of, like, learned over time. But then when I graduated, I felt like I fell into a place I didn't go to that place.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I just ended up there. So then it kind of, like, redirected. And I just feel like then we met and there was just all these sidesteps. So like, I feel like since college, there have been back-to-back sidesteps.
Mad sidesteps. Like, we over here.
And it's like, you know when you're treading water and then the current just keeps on taking further away from the shore?
And I've been trying to get to the shore. And you don't even know where the direction is.
I don't know if I'm southeast, north, anywhere. Like, I'm just trying to get to the shore. But I haven't gone to the shore. I'm still not at the shore.
Any shore. Like, where's the shore?
I'm not at the shore.
Where is the shore? Are we in a different country? Where is the shore?
I could be in another continent trying to make it back to the southern part.
I'm cracking up. That is an excellent analogy, actually.
That is if you guys are trying to gauge my life. Like, that is so.
I mean, I think...
I'm in the middle of the waters out here.
I think for me, I think I had a vision, and I think that...
What was the vision?
It's twofold, right? Because I feel like people have visions and then the shit doesn't work out. And then it's like, you're down here when your vision was up here. And
let's break that up. When you say you have a vision and it's...
A vision. My vision changed every year, but from freshman year, I wanted to be a journalist, and I went to journalism class and realized that you had to actually, like, interview people and, like, do research and stuff, and I was like, that's too much work for me. So then I ended up creative writing all my articles and got an A in the class, but I realized this wasn't for me, but no one ever knew that I never really interviewed people. Like, I made up stories. And then I realized that I really like creative writing. So then I changed my major, and then I went into creative writing and psychology and communication. So I've kind of always been in the communications lane. But when I graduated, I didn't have a job. I didn't know what to do either with myself. And then at some point after graduation, I realized that I wanted to be in fashion. And that started my fashion journey, which wasn't really at fashion companies.
Right.
So it was like weird. Like, I was doing all these jobs that weren't in fashion and trying to be in fashion at the same time. I met you. And to your point, like, I felt like the sidestepping has been real. It's been real.
And I heard somewhere that, all right, so on my journey and all the no's that I received along the way, it has made it a little bit clearer of what I do want, because as you meet with these people in certain companies or, like, in situations, you see what, like, these roles are made of. But it also, like, solidifies what it is that you want to do so that you can kind of, like, steer in that path. Because I feel like if you're not clear on what it is you want, you're going to be kind of, like, wishy-washy and swaying, trying to get something. And this is what I feel I struggle with, because it's like I can envision what my day-to-day looks like and what I want to be doing, but I can't pick, like, a specific company and a specific, but, like, I can't hone in and zero in on something, because depending who I apply the position for, I have what that looks like at there.
Right. But that's like I was talking about this with my friend H, you know, H. Shout out to H the other day, and she posed the question, like, why, like, for people who you and I were so creative and we think outside the box, we always try to put ourselves in the box though. And it's like, when she told me that, I was like, that's really interesting because I'm a firm advocate on people not being in the box. And she's just like, yeah, you operate your life that way. But for some reason, when it comes to like jobs and titles, you put yourself in the box. Like, why are we checking the boxes? Like, you don't have to. So you envision what your life can be and this is what you want. This is the role that that role can apply in so many different places. Like, why even, you don't even have to put yourself in a box about it. Like, right. You can do this in different places and it could look a lot differently everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's just very weird. Like, I think I'm working on trying to be clear because there's a sense of when you're getting these no's and when you're trying to apply yourself, like, you never want to come from a place of, like, desperation, you know? Right. And I feel like a lot of us do because we're trying to still make the money to survive and stuff, and you're trying to hustle and get it. And, like, it hasn't been very easy from when I hear a lot of people's stories of, like, finding the type of... And this is just, like, media, right. Digital PR. I'm talking in our space because I'm sure, like... For a doctor is different, or an attorney.
Or a teacher.
I'm speaking like in the creative space. It's not like such a everybody get like even though we end up in the same places and spaces, the way we got here is so different. Like somebody,
it's not black and white. In this There's no like straight roadmap.
Is like somebody that could be younger than you could be in the level over you because of how they came into the picture and timing and opportunity does
it's
matter.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, but I be hearing of people literally moving from job to job in a strategic way, not that they're jumping around.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I question my approaches because of that.
But that's fine, though, the question. We should be questioning everything, right? Mm-hmm. But I just think that I think it's hard for us. Like, because it's not black and white, that's why we always feel unclear. Because it's like, think about it. How many crayon? I don't know what's
and
happening
sometimes
here.
I think I'm one black and white, and I'm not admitting it. Like, but my actions are showing, but you're
not black and white though.
Right.
Like there are what is there 26 color crayons in a crayon box? Mm-hmm. Black and white are two colors. We're operating outside of black and white. We're operating in all that color space.
Right, but what I'm saying is like. You know how when there's too many choices, it makes it like iffy and wishy washy. So when it's just two things to pick from, then it like lessens what you deciding on. So I feel like we say it vocally, but the things that we do
are actually
put us in this box because I don't know if it's just like a safety net. Like
we're like, oh, we don't want to be in a full time job here, but here we are.
Right. Or is like how the full time job looks in what place, because I know that I would allow myself to be in a certain situation depending on the company.
Right.
Because what it affords you. But then if it's not, like, you know what I mean? Like
I do, but I feel like it's not black and white though. Like I feel like, you know, that doesn't mean just because if you decide to be in a company because of what it affords you doesn't mean that it's still not aligned with your overall vision either, right? I mean, like, for instance, you're real right now. Like, this is still part of what you want to do in some capacity. Mm-hmm. It looks a lot different, and it may not be the crux of everything you want, but it's still leading you there. It's not like you're so far deviated in this particular role that you feel like shit. Like, I'm not even... Like, you're definitely drowning out there. Mm-hmm. At least, like, maybe you didn't know you were going to Africa, but, like, you near Africa.
Like, you know when the boat is there and you're holding up but you're outside the water? Bitch, you can't even get in. I'm outside on the boat, like, hey, guys.
But at least you on the boat. At least you held it on to the boat, though. Like, the boat pulls off, you still hold it on. I don't know how long.
Right.
But you still hold it on. I'm done.
But well, guys, do you see what the train of thought happens here? I'm sure that all of you guys can relate. Like, you're like, bruh, that sounds like me because it's real. It happens real. So much more frequently. It's, like, every day I'm questioning my purpose because you need to solidify what it is so that you're doing the steps needed to walk in it as closely as possible. Because every day it doesn't feel like that.
And great. That is a great call out. And the other thing I will say, though, is when you're thinking about clarity, that a lot of people get real fucked up about is, like, clarity doesn't mean I need to, like, specifically, like, pick this role or pick this job or know this role. Clarity could mean, like, what you said. I know I like talking. I know I like connecting people. And I know I want to be successful. Like, that is your vision. You know, that you have clarity on that. You just don't know the lanes you're going to take to get
yes.
there. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? There are people who don't have clarity on that either. Like, there are people who...
And that's so good that you said that. So, the same young girl... She's a grown-ass woman, but, you know. Tasica, I just love... She's like a wordsmith. So she was like, she captioned a post she put on her Instagram. Y'all can follow her. Tasica.com. So D-O-T-C-O-M. Things I wish I knew. So the first one was like, that she spoke to a college junior, and this is what she told them. She was like, one, don't pressure yourself with the question, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. Instead, ask, what can I do? What's my gift? Identify your gifts.
Yep.
To your point, Ayana. Then two, she was like, ask yourself, what is the problem my gift can solve? This is especially important for creatives who aren't gifted with a clear-cut path to success, like doctors, accountants, lawyers, etc. Look at the world. What's the problem that aches your heart? Can your gift help that? And then three, don't put so much stock mentally into jobs, quote unquote. Look at work as opportunities. Each one is like building a house on your path, and in the end, you want to have built a community. Sometimes you won't get paid, but you're working. There's nobility in that. Three, continue. My work, quote unquote, not my job, is all over my life because I'm using my gift. Every opportunity adds to my path. Some are paid, some aren't, but the fulfillment and balance is there. This informs my decision-making about where I spend my time. Let your gift spill everywhere. And then an honorable mention, she added another thing, was stop wasting time on whatever you're dead-ass not good at. Pour your resources into your gifts. Turn them into skills. Hone your craft. Don't be distracted. Go out and prosper. Hashtag Black Creatives.
It's like drops mic.
I dropped my phone. I don't know if I heard it, but...
I agree with her 1,000%.
She's like in our conversation.
And to that point, that brings us into our little check-in that we need to do on where we are in the homies Carla Moore's book, Crash, Leveraging Through, what's it called? Leading Through the Wreckage, because she pretty much said everything that this girl said when we met her. Like, that was pretty much what she said. So, where are you in this book? Did you finish it?
I didn't. I'm in midway.
Okay.
I plan to finish it this week. I thought I was going to get to really read some in Jamaica. Who was I kidding? Because I thought it was like, oh, I'm going to be chilling on the beach.
No.
Reading, but like, you know, time. Everybody wants to talk and say their life stories. So, they was interested in my book.
So, what do you think about it so far, though?
So far, I think it's just like... It's so crazy that we be feeling this way. I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. We really do hold ourselves back. I know for me, I can say this out loud, I live in fear. Mm-hmm. I be scared of that I'm going to fail. Like, I don't even know what it doesn't even make sense.
It don't, because we failed a lot of times.
But I don't know, and I be having constant battles. Like, for me, it's more internal than external. I don't think it's
all you.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to, like, break through that. And I really don't know, because I find myself, like, having time and seeing and looking back where there was so many opportunities to be at a place. And I'm consciously thinking of this. But I'm not making certain steps to get out of the space of where I see myself constantly being in, of having the opportunity to, like, fulfill something or follow through or finish something or create it. I feel like I'm always, like, in this limbo of...
But why do you feel that way?
I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely an internal thing, because the external thing shouldn't be what hinders, you know what I'm saying? Because... Mm-hmm. I'm never going to have a control over the external. Right. I'm only going to have control of me. So I it's something that, like, I'm processing and trying to figure out and trying to, like, take bite-sized pieces of it to, like, attack it, because it's a compounding issue that's been from, like, way before.
Right.
Because I look back to certain points in my life where you know how people say, oh, I don't have the time to do this or invest this time into creating this. And there's so many pockets of my life where there was time, but there wasn't money or resources, but I wasn't taking advantage of the time.
Right.
Because something could have been built if I would have continued and been consistent with it.
Right.
So I don't know what, that's why I say I think it's fear or something. I'm really trying to like dig deep and see where that's coming from, because I feel like I've been held back, and it's like from my own decision making.
Right. And it's
scary. It's a little bit scary.
It's like, but you're paralyzing yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you're the one who's doing that. So that is scary.
It is, because I don't feel like nobody has. I mean, part of that is coupled because I have put myself out there and try to get in these certain roles and things at the same time, but I still feel there's a factor of the not necessarily seeking validation, but wanting certain things to be in place to look a certain way for the other things to follow. And it's like, mm-hmm. you shouldn't need this to have that or need this to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, just fucking do it. And I don't fucking do it. But I'm gonna get it done. Like, I'm working on, like, it's like I'm a person, but then there's a double of me that I'm trying to hold her hand to come up. So she's dangling in, like, this open hole, and she's reaching her hand, and I'm, like, trying to pull her, and, like,
yeah,
we're not tugging at each other, but it's like I'm holding you and you're holding on to me, but, like, why are we not letting go of something?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's each other.
I don't know. It's something, but I feel like I'm trying to gather myself to get a hold of it, because I am aware of it, but I don't know.
Well, that's definitely, like, for those of you who don't know, you guys definitely need to get Carla Moore's book, but that's definitely something huge she talks about in the book, like, mm-hmm. fear and what that looks like, and
yeah.
how we are the drivers in our own life. For me, I think I'm almost at the end, but what I do love about, what I like about the book is how she narrated
yes,
it, right?
Okay.
I love the chapters. I love how, like, every chapter is a lane, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and she talks about sidestepping yeah. a lot. Like, I love how, like, it's about your life. It's like you being the driver in the driver's seat of your life, and how are you going to take control of that? Mm-hmm. And why I like it is because it's a constant reminder, I think, for us. And, like, just like everything you're talking about, like,
right.
you get to control your life.
Yeah.
You get to make these decisions. And the things that happen that don't work out, or things that you may have let slip, it's all you. Like, mm-hmm. she talks heavily about accountability, which is my favorite word. So I'm all about people being accountable for their actions. And she, you know, a lot of times when we look at accountability, we look at it so negatively, and it's not that it's not per se, mm-hmm. but it's more so like, let's start looking at it in our lives and what we do to ourselves. Not necessarily what someone's doing to us, but like what we're doing to ourselves.
And because ultimately what people are doing to you is not their fault. It is still your fault.
Yeah.
You're allowing it or not allowing it. So it all comes down to you.
It's like,
it's your choice, maybe.
You have the control of how you're going to receive things, what you're going to do.
What you're going to tolerate, how long you're going to let it be. Because, you know, people's actions are their actions.
Right.
You don't have control of it.
Nope.
It's what you're going to do and allow, and, like, are you going to cut them off? Are you going to give them a chance? Are
right.
you going to, you know, forgive them or
right.
whatever? Like, when are the boundaries going to be implemented?
And you have that responsibility to yourself.
Self. And sometimes we're not responsible with
ourselves. We're not responsible with ourselves at all. And she points that out so much in the book. I don't know if she says it that way, but she points that out a lot. Like, and I think for me, like, that's been kind of like an eye-opener, because a lot of the things that she talks about in the book, I know I do. I feel like I've come from such a far place in my life about where I am right now. Like, I've grown.
Yeah.
So a lot of things in the book, I'm like, I know, like, that's, I already do this, I operate like mm-hmm. this, but just being mindful of it, because mm-hmm. Growth is a constant everyday work in progress, right? And sometimes we falter, you know, and I think just
the human element is all necessary. The human
era, yeah.
Like, that's my
with
thing.
Ourselves, and I think
we fucking bash ourselves.
We need to be kinder to ourselves, but she also points out in the book, like, being responsible with it. Like, don't give yourself a break when you know you don't need a break, right? Like, it's just those things.
But
like,
that's what I'm saying. Discipline all ties in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and I often criticize and judge because I'm like, you hear the words of people who say, who you are when no one's looking.
Yeah.
And that's really who you are.
That's
and
real.
If I have to be 1,000% honest, I'm not saying I'm a complete waste in any shape, form. Like, I know I've done amazing things, but I know there's, like, so much more I could be doing when no one's looking that I'm not taking those.
Like, you're not tapping into your full potential. I feel like I say this all the time. I'm always, like, and to your point, going back about, like, clarity and vision and all that stuff, I always say all the time, I know that there's so much more that I can be doing, I should be doing, I'm meant to do. But I just, like, don't know what that looks like, and I don't know when that will happen, but I know, like, it's, like, almost like a game where I haven't unlocked my full potential. Like, we've unlocked our potential, because obviously we're doing it, but there's so, imagine, like, what would happen if we unlock, like, more.
No, I understand that, but I think that way, too. But we're still thinking, like, in the future. We're not thinking of it around right now. Because we could be living that very life that we're talking about, like, right now. So, I don't know where's the disconnect of why we can't achieve it. Or, like, why we're literally not doing it now. Because, again,
you gotta be urgent
it's a
now.
Perception. It's a perception thing. Your mind is, like...
And it's all internal. So, it's not, like... And it's nothing to do with nobody else.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
But speaking of, like perception internal and like the things that we should be doing now, jumping into hashtag obsessed with this week, our girl is Angela Yee, and, me and Delilah have interesting opinions about Angela, but overall, I think the clear thing to point out is that she is a hustler in her own right, and she's doing her damn thing on The Breakfast Club as a radio personality. Like, I mean, you know, we've all know Angela, like, not know her, but, like, seen her journey for a long time. You know
she,
what I mean?
It wasn't a smooth sailing type of thing.
No,
like,
she has been...
She's been in the game. She's from intern, all the way from the bottom to
her hustle is real. Yeah. But something, specifically why we wanted to bring her up today is because something she said at CultureCon really stuck with me. And I'm not going to say verbatim because for some reason I can't remember verbatim. But basically she was saying like the best thing that you have to give when it comes to your passion is to be consistent and be persistent. And, you know, and I think that that was a good testament to her journey and her travels because this is why she is where she is right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's just like, everyone's not going to be checking for you. Things are not going to happen when you want it to. She's like, none of that's going to happen. She was like, it's literally hard work being consistent. And it resonated for us with this podcast because, you know, we're at episode 56. Like, contrary to popular belief, that's no easy task. You know what I mean?
And like, I'd be feeling, I like, not that I downplay it, but I just be like, yeah, this is what we need to be doing. Like, you just do it. But, like, there's a lot of people that they hear it and they's like, wow, it's not an easy thing to do. Like, it takes a lot of work and it does take time.
It takes a lot of work.
We still here.
And we started, we taped weekly for a year. Like, we were on crack. Not literally, but.
Yeah, no. We say no to drugs, kids.
We were crazy. We were. And to continue to, like, I'm glad, like, we were able to, like, scale back and, like, reassess and all that stuff. But we've been super consistent. Yeah. And, like, that's something that no one can take away from us.
They can't. I literally remember our first conversations, like, where we recorded 4 times and had them, like, archived before we even said this podcast existed.
Yeah. Because like, we didn't even trust ourselves. We're like, are we going to be consistent?
Because we had so many flops because...
Because we sized
the nature of things and how life goes. But we definitely stood, so 4 episodes then were 4 weeks back to back because we were doing every week. So we went a month long of like, you know what, we're really going to do this. And I feel like our topics and what we speak about, like I feel like we haven't fluffed shit in all the episodes we've created. It has been like things that have been going on and happening.
And raw. And
like, yeah, we try to think of what the subject is and like kind of checking into ourselves to see what's happening in life so that we create a theme around it. So, you know, this is not like a just unorganized, out of the place conversation. There's some like purpose to it. But this is literally the conversations that we're having that if they weren't recording, me and Ayana are having them.
Right.
But, like, now they're documented. And this is what we started. Like, this is what we said we were going to do.
Which is pretty fucking cool.
I think so.
So, shout out to Angela Yee because we appreciate her hustle.
Yes. And she has, like, she's beyond The Breakfast Club. Like,
yeah,
you know,
she's way
that's
beyond.
That's just, like, a piece of the pie. She's been, she has a book club going on. She is also partner with two other women, or maybe three, for another podcast, for a podcast. It's called Lip Service. And she's been, like, kind of, not on the political way, but, like, she supports certain causes. Uh-huh. And,
She speaks out, and she's just doing her thing.
Yeah, and then at the same time, I don't know if it's because I don't personally, like, check for her. Right. But, like, she'd be, like, low-key.
She'd be, like, no, I'm right? Like, she's not really but on yeah, the radar. But, yeah, she's just on her hustle. Yeah, she's on her hustle. It's, like,
the people that work with the head down. And
yeah, too. But I mean, I appreciate that, though, because.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then she partners, produces for, like, she has a store.
Yeah, so she. this is why we respect her game.
Yeah, she's the obsessive of the week.
So shout out, check her out if you haven't. So we got to wrap up, but before we go, you know, this whole setback to comeback thing has been really interesting. We've gone through a lot of different side steps in our lives and a lot of issues this week on my end and all kinds of stuff. But one thing we kind of wanted to, like, wrap up with is one piece of advice someone gave us, or a favorite quote about a setback that has really resonated with us, or any lesson. So what you got to share?
So for me is, like, and I've heard it several times, like, by different people, is don't stop. Like keep going through it. Like if you don't feel good, keep going. If you're unsure, keep going. Like, just keep going.
Right.
And it sounds harder.
It sounds easier than it is, yeah. Yeah,
but it's, like, literally keep going. Because it's like that meme. If I had to put it in, like, a picture, the meme of somebody who's, like, knocking down the boulder, and they're so close to the diamond on the other side, and they walk away.
And then somebody else gets to come and do two knocks and get the diamond. Yeah. That's how it always happens. Yeah. This is like a game. What game is it?
Bejeweled diamond. Mime.
Something. I'm so dead. Anyway, okay.
If I even said that.
Okay, so.
Minesweeper. That was the game I was thinking of.
All right, so mine is a setup for a comeback, because really I feel like everything happens for a reason. Like, I feel like I've been saying that all week. I've had so much happening this week, guys, but I've been saying that all week, but everything happens for a reason. And it's like, no matter how much I want to push something, mm-hmm. no matter how much I want to, like, change the direction that something's going in, sometimes you have to, like, acknowledge that this is happening for a reason, and this doesn't mean it's failure, doesn't mean, like, you've done anything wrong per se. Mm-hmm. It means that this was not meant to be right now. This may not have meant to be for you. It may not have meant to be right now, but everything happens for a reason. And find some type of peace in that, to know that it doesn't mean for you to stop, mm-hmm. but maybe something, this is happening because maybe you need to reshift. Maybe you need to do all kinds of things. But it doesn't mean
that you need to learn.
Yeah.
In the process.
Total lesson learned.
Yeah. It's something you need to learn, an experience you need to have, so that it preps you. Because I think back to certain moments, like the job that I had before this one, I literally complained every single day. And the things I was doing there, I'm doing, like, almost all of that here, right. And the onboarding was not as difficult. Like, you know, like, now it's like a breeze. It's just so crazy.
Everything happens for a reason. And it helps
you. The shit that you think doesn't help you, you're going to pull from that tool one day, and you're going to be like,
because there's lessons in everything. Everything
ends up coming back around full circle, even when it fucking sucks at the time when you're experiencing it.
Straight back. So don't give up, and realize that everything happens for a reason, and usually a setback is a step setting you up for a comeback.
And also, live your life. I need us more to live our lives and stop being caught up in, like, these perfect dreams that we know
that don't exist.
Yes, because you know why I say this? Because sometimes, being in the culture that we are, like, our parents don't understand. I'm Latina, I'm Puerto Rican, Dominican. Our parents, or, like, certain family members, don't understand the life that we live, or, like, mm-hmm. even what it means to take a day off. Because, you know, our parents come from the, you just work, provide, there's no time for enjoyment. Right. Like, and I refuse to live a life where I'm just chasing this dream so damn hard. And when I get to the dream and I achieve it, then what? Like, I missed out on somebody's bachelor party, or I missed out on a wedding, or I missed out on, like, being able to travel. Like,
there has to be a balance. Like, there has to be a balance in everything. And you can't not live your life to, you know, I mean, we all have compromises, things like that. Yeah. But, like, enjoy life, because once you die,
you can't take none of it with you.
You can't take it with you. And also, you don't want to look back and be like,
I didn't get to do
this. This is what I did.
I didn't do enough. Because it's easy to guilt trip yourself. Like, yeah. You know, I was away at Jamaica. It's like, damn, I could have saved that money to invest in the business, or I could have saved that money for my apartment. I could have saved that money for so many other things. But it's just like, those things are also important, but everything has to get its time.
And everyone needs a vacation.
Yeah, and I'd be wanting to take them like every 3 months. But
that's another story. I mean, in a perfect world, vacation should be every 3 months. But yeah. Anyway, on that note.
Every 3 weeks if I was rich, bitch.
One day. We gotta get that. So we want to hear from you guys. You know, definitely check out this episode and like hit us up on IG and let
us
know.
Share it with your friend. Let your grandma listen to it. Maybe she can live her dreams through us. We still want her to be inspired.
Live her best life while she's here.
Yeah, while she's here. Let your little cousins listen to it. You know, plant the seed.
And definitely let us know like any favorite quotes you may have, or like advice you've gotten from someone about setbacks, because we always need some motivation and everything to keep going. We all do. So on that note,
we are.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Non-Corporate Girls. Check us out next time when we interview Jasmine Henley Brown. Don't forget to follow your favorite girls on the gram, Ayana at @the_Aya_brand, Delilah at @MissDelilahC. Check out our happenings at Non-Corporate Girls on the gram as well. Until next time.